The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Anyone involved in planning a wedding, we want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christy Matthews. Hello. Thank you for joining us. Welcome to another edition of You Ask, We Answer.
Yawa.
Exclusively from the Big Wedding Planning Podcast. Your very own wedding planning, Dear Abby.
Dear.
You remember Dear Abby?
Of course I do.
That's the part of the newspaper I always read. My parents always got both newspapers, the Dallas and the Fort Worth. So our morning kitchen table was always covered with newspapers, and they do the crossword and the whole like morning routine. And I would read Dear Abby.
I don't think I actually ever really read it, but I knew of it.
What with your reading problem?
Right. Told you, reading things.
This is the best long-running joke we have. I can get one in almost every episode.
Oh, yes, you can, baby.
But you get them in yourself now. You, like, beat me to the punch half the time. You'll say something about, like, well, what are you reading? Oh, I don't read.
Yeah, I like to make fun of myself because then I beat other people to the punch. That's deep,
man. It's a good strategy.
If there are any therapists listening out there right now, you probably just go to town on that right there. So I'm convinced today that I have COVID. I just told Christy. Mm. I feel a little achy.
Oh, Michelle doesn't feel good.
I don't like that. Every time.
She feels like she wants to lay in a bed.
I don't like it. Every time I have a little sniffle or a cough or, you know, my wrist hurts, whatever it is, I'm like, Oh no, I've got COVID. That's it. I've got COVID. I've got it. I don't have it. And if I do, so be it. Okay. We'll just do what we have to do. But tell me I don't have it.
You don't have it.
Thanks.
All right, problem solved. Anybody else?
Yeah, we got several questions to get to today. But before we jump in, Christy, we'd like to thank our new Patreon members.
Yes, which isn't as big of a list this month as we had the last couple months, but we're recording this episode
really early.
Yes, early, ambitiously early for us for a...
Yeah. This
end
is like
of the month episode.
This is crazy early. Like usually we're like right before it needs to go out, but you are planning ahead, and
we have some scheduling.
Well, with
difficulties
Thanksgiving
on the horizon,
and then the time zone changed between us. Like you're not on the same time zone as I am anymore, and we got Thanksgiving coming up. Like. It's just, there's lots of stuff. This is the time of year when it's just like all kinds of shit goes on with the holidays, man.
Yeah, the rest of the year goes by very fast, always in this mid-November range that I start to like, it's like a snowball. So we're just being prepared.
Prepared, proactive. We're planners, peeps. You know us.
And we do have two patrons to thank, and one of them is Big Whammy.
It's a big
one. Yes, so we have to schedule a Skype consultation, but she wanted to do it closer to the new year. So Caitlin J., thank you so much for joining us on the level that you did. We appreciate it, and we can't wait to meet you.
Yeah.
And our other lovely patron this month is Rachel R., who I believe we have communicated with some on email as well. So welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club, loves.
Bonus episodes, all backlogged, all available at any time. So it's like basically you have a whole bonus season now.
Newsletters, you know, which Christy puts her heart and soul and blood and sweat and tears into.
That is finished. like 24 hours before the end of the month.
That one is
always
like a phew.
But I like to use it as like a monthly review almost, right? So like every article or everything I read or every episode we did. So it's better for me to do that at the end of the month, even if I'm rushed. So look out for that.
So thank you, lovely Patreon members who are new and who are ever present, who have continued to support us through Patreon. And if you're listening and you have no idea what that is, it really is a very something wonderful for us, because those of you listening who are getting help from us, you know, who are actually getting all of the good stuff from this podcast and using it to plan your wedding, Patreon is a way for you to kind of give back, you know, just give back by helping us with, you know, $5 a month, $20 a month, as much
as
you want.
It's literally a support system for your grassroots.
Yeah. It allows, you know,
podcasters,
us to pay for these microphones we're talking on, for our monthly hosting site, for our website, for our, I mean, the little expenses that we have and projects that we work on for you. So that's what Patreon is. It's on our website. It's patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Do what you can, you know? Oh, reviews!
Reviews. Also, we pulled a little bit earlier than usual, but we got some good ones on there.
We had quite a few last month. Like
we did, I pulled three because I think these were all after we recorded last time.
Yeah.
So they're all the very, very, very end of October and into November.
Yes, I love them very much. Okay, shall I begin?
Yes.
This is a long one. Did I read this before? No. Okay. October 29th, this was posted by Jen G 2021. And the title is Planning a Wedding? Listen to this podcast. Oh, and it's 5 stars, just in case you're wondering. I came across this podcast last week after a minor meltdown regarding my June 2021 wedding. My wedding is happening in Massachusetts at an indoor venue where large gatherings indoors are limited to 25 people until we enter the final phase of reopening. Up until now, I was really in the mindset that things will be fine by then. They have to be. But as we approach late fall, early winter, I am becoming increasingly less hopeful that things will go back to, quote, normal anytime soon, while also fielding frequent questions about our plans. As I searched for wedding planning resources during COVID, I couldn't really identify with the generic recommendations that were coming up. I did a search for wedding planning podcasts where I found The Big Wedding Planning Podcast, and I am addicted. Never have I ever binge listened to a podcast like I am binge listening to this one. This podcast has helped tremendously in shifting my mindset as we begin to create multiple contingency plans for our wedding. Hearing from other brides-to-be who are navigating similar situations has made me feel much less alone in this process. Michelle and Christy offer advice that is practical, realistic, and relatable, and they are hilarious. I have laughed out loud multiple times during their banter. I am most definitely learning something valuable and am entertained during every episode. I cannot recommend this podcast enough to anyone involved in planning a wedding. 5 stars.
She's very attentive. She needs to be our publicist.
I know.
Let's fire the other one we have and hire her.
Do we have another publicist?
We don't have one.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute.
It's us.
That was a really long review, and I freaking love it, and you're adorable.
Of course. Also, one of our questions today is about the very mindset that she mentions in this review. So we will, we'll be able to tie it back. We'll circle back to the review with one of our Yawa questions.
Yeah. And shout out to a girl from Massachusetts, because I used to live over there near Boston in Watertown. I don't know where you live, but yay, it's going to be fine. And she wrote this, by the way, October 29th, which was before we heard of that thing called a vaccine coming out soon. So I bet she's feeling a little bit better now. I hope so.
Helpful and hilarious by Caitlin. I think this is a patron, right? Is that right?
I don't
know. Did I say her name earlier?
Caitlin.
Caitlin. Yes. Same person, aww. I think I just solved a mystery.
Yes, it is. Caitlin J.
5 stars. I'm recently engaged just a week ago, and one of my other engaged friends turned me on to this podcast. Awesome. We'll give her a referral fee. I have been binge listening ever since. These women are so knowledgeable and have the most interesting guests on their show. They cover every single topic having anything to do with wedding planning. Wedding planning is so daunting at the beginning, not knowing where to start, but hearing from experts all across the board is making it less stressful. Thank you, wonderful ladies.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wonderful ladies.
Thank you, wonderful Caitlin. You're the best.
Caitlin gets 5 stars from us because she listened, and then she wrote a review, and then she became a patron.
I mean,
all the things.
Holy shit, people. That's amazing.
MVP of listeners.
And what?
She's the MVP.
She's the MVP of the TBWPP listeners. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love it. That's love. God. Jeez. Okay. I told you I'm worried that I have COVID. It keeps going into my head. I can't stand
it. Like when you think about all the love coming towards you?
Yeah, and then every time I talk, dying. I'm like, do I sound nasally?
No, you sound great.
All right, fine. Thank you. Okay.
Last
review we're going to read today is from, I can't see.
Manda the Pirate.
Oh, that's fun.
It's Manda the Pirate.
Manda the Pirate.
I'm like trying to read it differently.
And the title is A Must Listen for Planning During This Crazy Time. 5 stars. I love this. I'm not even engaged yet, but in a serious relationship, and who doesn't like to be prepared? These awesome ladies share not only great advice for general wedding planning, but especially in this world of COVID and uncertainty. This is a must to listen to for anyone currently planning or hoping to plan soon. Smiley face. Thank you for that. We have so many people that are not engaged yet, but know that it's coming, but are like obsessed with weddings, you know, then they're just like, I just want to hear all about it. And that was you and I back in the day before we were planning weddings. Like we just read wedding stuff and, you know, listened to wedding things and bought the magazines.
Yeah.
So, hey girl, thanks.
We see you. We hear you. Thank you.
We feel the love.
Let us know when you get engaged. Email us your questions.
Yeah, so awesome. This is great. It's my favorite time. All right. Well, we got that reviews done. So we've got quite a bit to cover. I think you threw in 5?
Yes.
Yeah, this is very...
I mixed it up.
All right. We got to go through them. Boom, 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 bang, bang, bang.
Topics include dress secrets, rehearsal dinner stuff, making sure a brother with a disability feels like the VIP that he is on the wedding day, a vendor with a potential drug problem, and last on the list is staying positive with planning and replanning and uncertainty right now.
Oh, these are good, huh? All right.
So they're all across the spectrum. And the first one actually was an Instagram DM that we did not get to in our live, but I did answer her. So I'm going to read
the question. Okay. I have a really good relationship with my fiance's mom, and I've done some wedding dress shopping with her, which all went very well. But lately, she started slipping up and saying specific things about the type of dress I want in front of my fiance. And today, she blurted out the cut of the dress. Luckily, he didn't know what it meant. But all it takes is one Google search, and I'm really upset that it may no longer be a surprise. I really want to keep her involved, but now I'm wondering if I should cut her off from dress shopping and stop telling her about anything.
Anything about it.
Oh, anything about it.
And cut her out of my life. And cut her.
I'm wondering if I should cut her.
Cut her.
And stop telling her anything.
Okay. And my answer was, we get a lot of questions about mother-in-laws and family dynamics similar to this, but we've never gotten this question specifically that I can remember. Can you?
Negative.
Of like a dress of secret.
Yeah. Giving it away. Like, that's not very nice. Don't do that.
I'm sorry we didn't address it in the live. Okay. So I think that you have included her a lot already for the dress experiences, and that it's okay to kind of move forward with your maybe final choice without her for now, at least in this one aspect of wedding planning, which we have talked about before recently. Like, the dress shopping part of wedding planning is something that is very, I'm going to say this and it's not to be negative, but it's a very like self-centered, it's a bride-centered part of wedding planning. Yeah. You don't have to get everyone's opinion.
No.
It's not anybody else's experience that you have to think about. So I think it's okay to do that. There are plenty of things to do together that are not so secret sensitive. And if you stick to those elements of wedding planning, you'll know that she won't accidentally overshare. I also think it's because she's excited and she loves this relationship with you. And it's great that you have a good relationship with her. So think about the pros and cons here. The pro is that you guys are close and that you have a good relationship and that you've had a good time with her thus far. If she asks about the dress or veil or shoes or the whole look, because you haven't updated her or invited her recently, maybe just say that you haven't made your final decision yet, or that you want her to be surprised too. But generally, I think this is a happy problem, really. I get that you don't want your fiance to know, but like in the overall scheme of things, it's a happy problem.
Yeah, and he's not gonna see the dress. Like listen. When he sees you for the first time in the dress, that moment, there's nothing that she can say that's going to take away from that moment. You know what
Even
I mean?
Even if he saw the dress on a hanger, it's totally different than
on you
walking towards him, moving with hair, makeup, shoes, veil, like all the things.
Right.
It's very different than just seeing a dress. And men, in general, I can say, are like more visual in, like, we need to see the whole picture rather than, like, I'm imagining a sweetheart neckline.
Right.
And an empire waist.
Right, right. Also, it sounds like your mother-in-law are one of those people who just, and it's not on purpose, they just really don't know how not to talk about things. Like, mm-hmm. how not to keep a secret. Like, my stepdad is like that. He is oblivious. Like, literally, you could be like, oh, Dave, I'm so embarrassed. Don't tell anybody, but I've got like this big boil on my right buttock, you know, on the cheek. And then we'll be at dinner the following week and he'll be like, what's going on with the boil on your ass? You know, and you're like, what? How? Why did you say that? Like, I literally told you, oh, geez, I didn't know. You know, some people just.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's not true. I've never had a boil on my ass. But what I'm getting at is
a very specific example.
She might just be one of those people. Do you know anybody like that, Christy?
Yeah.
That like
they just
it's just their nature. Like they just.
Yes, it is their nature. I think that's totally true.
So
in our family, there's many aunts. Have you seen that Geico commercial with all the aunts? And then the aunts came and it's like aunts, like Auntie Jill, Auntie Jackie.
No.
And they open up the fridge and they're like, expired, expired, expired. But it reminds me of my aunts. And the joke is, tell an aunt, tell a phone. Like, if you tell one of them, you might as well tell all of them.
Yes, yes.
They're going to tell.
Exactly.
And then you hear the same thing that you told somebody not to tell. You know, you're like, don't tell anyone I'm going over early because we want a pre-party or whatever. And then the rumor will come full circle.
Right.
And someone will be like, did you know that some of our cousins pre-partied? And I'll be like, that was me. I did that.
Right.
And I told her not to tell anyone. And now you're telling me 12 people later.
Yeah. This is, and see, our listener here who wrote to us, probably, maybe she didn't know this about her mother-in-law yet, you know?
Now you do.
Now you know. She's the one. She's the one that tells things.
I have a question for you this time. I'm not going to answer a question. Do you need a men's ring for your wedding? You probably do. If there's a man involved in the marriage, and there is not always a man involved in the marriage, of course. But if there is, we're talking to you, whether you're having a virtual wedding, hybrid, mini-modi, elopement, or you're planning a big old party for sometime in the hopefully near future, you probably need a ring, and we love the men's rings at Alpine Rings.
AlpineRings.com is a veteran-owned wedding ring company offering a wide selection of men's wedding bands with authentic and rustic wood accents and inlays. And, you guys, they have free exchanges and a one-year warranty. And they're giving you a 15% discount site-wide. How did they get that, Christy?
Well, there's a direct link on our show notes of this episode, or you can go to the partners page of our website, or you can go to alpinerings.com and use the promo code BIGWEDDING15. Promo code BIGWEDDING15 at checkout for 15% off site-wide.
Thank you, Alpine Rings. We've got an email here about a rehearsal dinner drag and not a drag queen.
I was going to say that's the first thing I thought of when
too.
I read it. And I was like, yes, drag queen.
Me too. When I opened the email, I'm like, ooh, a drag queen at a rehearsal dinner. But it's more like, man, this is a drag. Like, this sucks.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
That's the opposite of a drag queen.
Yeah, totally. So I think I answered this. So you want to read the question?
Yes, I cannot wait.
Okay.
Hi there again. We have been in touch with this listener. I think she's also been in a Zoom. Do you think so?
I think so.
In a Zoom party we had?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You guys were so helpful with a question I had a few months ago, and now I have another one. This one is COVID-y.
Kind of how I'm feeling today. COVID-y.
That's right. Michelle's feeling a little COVID-y. We originally planned to invite 170 guests to our wedding that was supposed to be in June 2020. We decided to postpone to next June due to COVID. I have a feeling that things will not be back to normal fully by early next summer. And I also just don't feel the need to invite all 170 guests originally on the list. This is happening a lot. Mm-hmm. once the downsizing of guests happen, it's like, well, we could actually cut a few more.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm really warming up to the idea of a 60-person wedding that basically includes our wedding party and close family, all the way out to our cousins. We see 80% of this group, this small group, multiple times a year. Originally, the rehearsal dinner was going to be about 60, essentially that same group that now might be our entire guest list. What should we do about the new rehearsal dinner group? I'm not sure I like the idea of seeing everyone on Friday. It makes Saturday less hyped. But at the same time, most of these people would be traveling in for our wedding, but we also see them a lot on the regular in non-COVID times, of course. So basically, these are her like VVIPs, and they're going to be a small wedding, but would be potentially a big rehearsal dinner. I want both days to feel special, and I like the idea of Friday being more intimate than Saturday, but maybe that's just old-fashioned, and I'm trying to keep some excitement and suspense for Saturday's wedding. Any insight is appreciated.
Yes, yes, yes. And I answered this email, and I said, you know I love a smaller wedding. Like, you all have heard me talk about this on the show. There are just so many good things about a smaller guest list, COVID aside. I've always loved a smaller wedding. I agree that if you see these people a lot normally, that you could make the rehearsal dinner way smaller. If you're feeling like maybe you should do something for them, since a lot of them are actually traveling in, how about choosing a bar to meet up at on the Friday night? So in other words, have the rehearsal dinner, but small, just the people involved in the actual rehearsal, you know, immediate family, wedding party. And then later on in the evening, just say something like, hey, everybody, we're going to be at, you know, ABC Bar by 8 p.m. Friday night for anybody who wants to come and say hi or something like that. And then that way, you can let them know that you're really happy that they're there and you don't have to like make anything formal, but rather just kind of a meetup spot if anybody wants to hang. You don't even have to pay for anything. You know what I mean? Everybody could get their own drinks. And then the other thing is, the night before your wedding, you actually want to get a good amount of sleep. So if everybody's at a bar and it's not a formal thing, you can just slip out whenever is the right time for you and get back to your house or the hotel or Airbnb, whatever, and have some beauty sleep. So that's what I'm thinking. And definitely go for a smaller guest list for the wedding. Teeny, you know, very, very small rehearsal dinner. And then just tell everybody, hey, let's meet at this bar Friday night if you all want to hang out, whatever you want to do, totally informal.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Good advice. I also think it's really kind of cool and fun when the rehearsal dinner is very different in tone than the wedding day. Like maybe you eat somewhere like at an ethnic restaurant that you love or that has like ties to your culture, or it's really casual, you know, like something that you love to eat, but you wouldn't have on your wedding day, and your wedding day might be a little bit more formal. So you can be cash, have some, it can be looser, and you can get creative with the rehearsal dinner. A lot of times stuff that like doesn't make the final cut for the wedding sometimes finds its way into the rehearsal dinner, like a mariachi band or something that you're like, oh, we just didn't end up booking them for the wedding, but because we cut our wedding, you know, down, we just had them at the rehearsal dinner, and that made it kind of fun.
I love that.
So, yeah, next is a very quick question from the Facebook community group, but I really appreciated it, and you answered, as did several other people. So I cut and pasted some of their answers as well. And the question is, I'm getting ready to do my wedding party proposals, and I'm having a hard time finding something for my brother to do. My brother is 18 and has several disabilities, including Tourette's. Being in high stress, like wedding situations, triggers his movements, and because of this, he's a pretty shy person. I want him to be a part of my wedding and to have a special role, but I don't want to trigger him or make him feel anxious or stressed about it. I think that being an actual groomsman will be too much for him. Does anyone have any suggestions on what he can do?
Yeah.
Thanks a million.
So I saw this and I thought about, what about, and I've had this at a lot of my weddings, like upon arrival, usually to the reception, and maybe even to the ceremony, you might have a guest book of some sort. And instead of it just being like a book that you open and write your name, some couples get really creative. You know, like I've had a lot of people do like the really cute Polaroid cameras and, you know, like maybe.
Or like a step and repeat.
Or like some postcards with pretty pens. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to have somebody at that table, like someone who's close to you or that wants to participate in the wedding somehow, where they can, at the very least, keep it neat and tidy, like put all the pens back and, you know, this, that, or the other. Or they can actually say to the guest, here's how it works. Here's a Polaroid camera. Here's a, you know, metallic pen. You're going to take your picture. You know, don't shake it. Don't shake the Polaroid. And then, you know, write on the back or, you know, whatever it is, whatever creative thing you've done for this guest book, you can maybe have your brother do something like that.
Yeah. And I thought your answer was really good because my first thought was like, oh, there's sort of that junior groomsman or junior bridesmaid that sometimes people have in big wedding parties where they might wear the same thing. They get a boutonniere. Yes. They're still in some of the formal pictures, but they don't necessarily have the same jobs or they don't stand up there with the groomsmen, but sometimes they act as ushers or greeters. But then I thought, this idea is even better because it actually gives him something to do, like an action to use his hands instead of what can be a little bit daunting for people is just standing there.
Right.
When you tell a shy person, like, just say hi to every single person that walks in. That's like, oh, that might be not something he's comfortable with, even though it is less responsibility than walking in as a processional and standing up at the altar. So I like your idea because it's a job where he could be busy and, like you said, interact with guests as much as he wants.
Right. And he's
and it also wouldn't be a disaster if he just walked away.
Yes, exactly. You have signage out. If he feels like he can't handle it or he's having some sort of an episode, like, he can walk away,
yeah,
you know,
or wants
go
a
find
break.
A quiet spot, you know. Yeah, exactly.
My best friend, one of my very, very close girlfriends has Tourette's, and it wasn't diagnosed until much later, and she's very shy. Like, the way I met her was because, like, I saw that she wasn't talking to anybody at this school event, and I kind of, like, ponied up next to her, and our kids ended up being the same age, and we became great friends. But it's very little tics that happen with her, but it is, I can always tell that it's when she's nervous in social situations. So I can certainly see how this listener bride is concerned about a wedding where, you know, we don't go to weddings every single day. So you don't always know how it's going to make you feel with people coming in. Maybe lots of hugging is not good for everybody. So
yeah.
I think she's being really conscientious, which is nice.
Yeah.
A couple other people suggested maybe walking their mom down the aisle, mm-hmm. which would be a natural job for a son to do if he wants to do that. That way he's with her,
yes.
leading up to the wedding, and then they walk in and sit next to each other, which might be helpful. And then another suggested maybe walking her down the aisle, and then noted that it wasn't awkward when she had her mother and father walk her down. So sometimes you can link arms with two people if you want to do that. And then the last person said, yeah, I got married. Yeah, and my career is working with people with disabilities. Perhaps you can make him a groomsman and give him the choice on how he wants to participate. If he wants to walk you down the aisle, but maybe sit with the rest of the guests.
Yeah.
Maybe he wants to arrive later in the day than the rest of the wedding party, which I think makes sense, and take a few pictures with everybody, and that's it. I think as long as you and your fiancé are willing to be flexible, he will be thrilled to participate in whatever way makes him feel comfortable. And we agree.
Agreed. And now we are so happy to welcome someone special to us back to the podcast. Zola!
Zola!
Zola! Z-O-L-A .com. We are so happy Zola is back after a little stint during COVID that brought us apart for a while, but they are back and they have a discount for you, dear listener.
Zola has helped over a million
wow.
couples get married, and the website has everything you need to make wedding planning easier and less stressful. We recommend it all the time. We love their wedding websites. The registry makes it very, very easy to get the gifts you want. They have save the dates, invites, and a handy guest list manager all in one place.
So first, you want to start your free wedding website on Zola.com so guests can find all of your wedding info in one place. There are hundreds of gorgeous designs for every style and taste out there. It's easy to create your site in literally minutes. And you get a custom URL, and it's password protected.
Yes, we love putting those websites together. We recommend the FAQ page. There's online RSVP page, and guests can shop for your registry right from your site. The registry is easy to use and flexible, and guests can get you a mix of gifts, experiences, and honeymoon funds, which is what a lot of people are doing right now with their smaller hybrid weddings.
Yeah. Plus, you can enjoy 20% off after the wedding. It's the best discount around. All the benefits that you and your guests want: free shipping and returns, free and easy exchanges, price matching, group gifting, so much more.
The discount is specifically about the Save the Dates, and you can find Save the Dates and Perfect Wedding Paper all on Zola. It handles the design and logistics for the entire paper suite. Tons of gorgeous, affordable cards for every wedding style, and they will address your envelopes for free.
What?
What?
So go to Zola.com/bigwedding today and use the promo code SAVE50 to get 50% off your Save the Dates. You can also get free personalized paper sample before you purchase. That's 50% off Save the Dates at zola.com/bigwedding, promo code SAVE50. Thank you, Zola.
Okay, the next one from a listener is an email, and you answered it, so I'll read it. And I kind of love this one because it's so weird. I've gotten into a bit of a weird, see the word weird, situation while venue hunting, and I'm not really sure what to do.
I love this one.
My fiance and I got engaged this summer and are thinking of getting married in 2022, provided that the situation with COVID improves. And good news, we think it is going to improve by 2022. We found the perfect venue in a small town just outside our city. It fits our price range. It has delicious food, and it is stunning. We were about to book it when a friend of the family who lives in this town and works in the wedding industry warned us that the owner of the venue has a bad drug problem and is addicted to cocaine.
It's very
specific.
Sounds
like a good time. This has really thrown me, and I'm not sure to do with this. I'm not sure what to do with this information or how to process. Part of me feels like it's not really my business, since it sounds like a personal problem the owner is dealing with. It also may or may not even affect our wedding, since we have mostly been dealing with the venue coordinator, who has been nothing but professional, and we haven't needed to interact with the owner. We only spoke to the owner once on the phone, and it was just to book an appointment with the venue coordinator. But I can't unknow this information, and it does make this venue, which is not cheap, feel riskier. I'm so conflicted because I have gotten very emotionally invested in this venue, and I don't know if this rumor should change my plans, especially since the venue is otherwise so perfect. Please help me navigate this peculiar situation and the risks involved.
Oh, boy. Okay. So first off, I just was like, you know, congratulations. But secondly, holy crap, this is a peculiar situation. And this is, for me, this is one we haven't heard before, Christy. You know?
Yeah.
This is one we haven't.
Most of the time, I feel like the way a person knows that another person does cocaine is because that person has done cocaine with him.
I didn't say
like
that,
in
but
general, it's not like you just see people doing it at Starbucks.
Well, I don't know though, because if this wedding professional is telling this listener that this owner has a bad cocaine problem, I have the feeling that, you know, I got the other impression. I got the impression that the person who thinks this person has a, quote, bad cocaine drug problem might have never done cocaine, you know? Maybe, or maybe has somebody
that's
in their family
a very good point
that is addicted to drugs, you know? And maybe it's somebody who has no really kind of experience with doing any recreational drugs. But who knows?
So hearing the rumor is like,
oh, my God.
Addict with a drug
He's
problem.
He's got a drug problem. He does cocaine. I don't know. Okay?
Yes, we don't know.
So
we don't know, and neither do you.
Yeah.
Technically.
All right. So just remember, people in the events industry tend to like to party. I will say.
Jesus.
Okay, this is my answer. I said, okay, let's say for argument's sake, the owner is in fact addicted to cocaine. What do you know about the ownership of this venue? Is it just the one individual owner? How many years has the venue been around? What are the reviews online for this venue, like on Google or Yelp or Facebook? If for some reason the owner was to overdose, right? Like that's one of the worst case. Or go into rehab or bankrupt. Realistically, what would happen to this venue? Is there a way to look into the percentage of ownership he has, right? Because maybe he owns it with somebody else. Maybe it's with another company.
Does he have multiple venues?
Right. Does he have multiple? Yeah.
Are there investors?
Yes. Yes. How involved is the owner with the operations side of the venue? Does he work the events himself? It doesn't sound like it to me.
No, it doesn't.
I ask all of this because, well, what is the risk of this ruining your wedding? Like contractually, you will definitely want to be absolutely sure to look at the cancellation clause as well as what happens if the venue has to cancel itself, right? We always talk about that anyway, but obviously focus on that. Another thing is your friend in the wedding industry. Is she going off of rumors or does she actually have proof? Addiction is, of course, and I'm saying this to all of you listening because I don't mean to make fun of this. Addiction is very serious. But some people do recreational drugs. And whether or not others approve or judge has little to do with the reality of this venue, of if his venue is going to go under, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure your friend has good intentions. And if she is an expert and knows this owner well, then perhaps you should listen to her. It's hard for me to speculate because I don't know the situation. Lastly, if you and your partner are concerned that you will lose money or just overall you have a gut feeling of genuine discomfort, then it's just not worth it. Like you definitely do not want to add any stress to your wedding planning experience or wedding day. Wedding planning should be a positive experience and not a negative one. We really believe that. And so, you know, I hope that was helpful. And I do want this listener to keep us updated because I am dying to know. I'm dying.
I have some additional questions.
Yes.
What does he look like? Where does he hang out? What kind of car does he drive? And just kidding. Okay. But I do think I did have one thing to add to your very good, very thorough answer. And you brought up some really great points about the operation of the venue.
Yeah.
And the thing I wanted to bring up and that I think you can dig in a little bit as somebody that's potentially going to put money down here and sign a contract.
Yeah.
And that's the work with the coordinator. Yeah. It is a very good, it's a pro that there is a coordinator involved who is responsive and has been easy to work with and is very professional. Ask her how long she's been there. Ask her if she's the one that is, as of now, going to be there on the day of. Is she your contact throughout?
Right.
She might have some insight. Like, you know, you don't have to say, is your boss got a drug problem? You can find out how she works the event.
Yeah, and you can actually ask for look online at who else has had their wedding there. You know, talk to your wedding vendor team if you've hired anybody. You might not have at this point.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you could ask around to, like, when you start looking into photographers and stuff, be like, oh, have you done a wedding at, you know, blah, blah, blah? And,
yeah,
you know,
people
see
will
what
have,
others have to say.
They'll have experiences that they will say, like, yeah, it looks great, but it's a fucking mess to work at. Or, yeah, they flaked on me. Or, yeah, I love working there. It's great, top to bottom. Easy to work with, easy to be there. So they'll have experiences about it.
Or they might be like, dude, it's so much fun. We end up doing blow in the bathroom with the owner, and it's just like a great time.
Yeah, and then you get to decide what you do with that information. If that is the reason why you're like, okay, this is too much. It's like a den of just craziness over there. But I think it's a very good sign that they have a coordinator in place.
Yeah.
So
a lot of times the owners of venues have little to do with the actual events. But who knows?
Yeah, really, and you do want to ask because, like, we've both worked at venues before where the owner and the coordinator are related, but they don't put that on the website, or they know each other very, you know, it's almost a dysfunctional, like, who do I, you said this, but you said this. So I would just ask more questions of the coordinator and see what, if that gives you enough information to make your decision. And do let us know. And the last one was also you answering.
Boy, I was a busy
bee. Yeah, you really were on it this week.
Wow.
With the email box. Oof. Michelle hates a disorganized email box, everyone.
I cannot stand it. It makes me crazy.
So this one is about the mindset that we talked about at the beginning of the episode. Here we go. First of all, I wanted to say thank you so much for your podcast. It has been a lifeline during these uncertain times. My fiance and I postponed our wedding from September 2020 to September 2021. At the time, it felt like a no-brainer since we were planning to get married in New York City, and it's actually felt less stressful to just postpone it to when we thought it would be safer for everyone. But now I'm feeling the stress creep back in as we are less than a year out from our new date and COVID continues to spread. I feel like we're never going to be able to have our wedding with all our loved ones. The original guest list was 150, but we would be happy if we could invite at least 75. That being said, it just seems impossible to imagine that we will ever be able to gather and celebrate ever again. Oh, I know no one knows when things will get better or has any real solutions, but it's hard to even find someone I can talk to about the stress and sadness I'm feeling. I've tried venting to my sister and bridesmaids, but I feel like it's a burden since everyone is dealing with their own issues brought on by COVID. It's just really difficult when people say, oh, just go to the courthouse and get married, or just get married and move on with your life, when what my partner and I have always dreamed of is a celebration that includes our family and friends. I would love any tips or guidance on how to navigate this crazy time and to remain hopeful when things just seem so terrible. I know there are so many people dealing with much bigger problems than not knowing what their wedding day will be like, but that doesn't change the disappointment and anxiety my partner and I feel about potentially having to postpone again or change the entire vision of what we wanted to do for our big day. Thank you so much for being a resource to couples during this time. Love you. Love your show.
Oh, all right. So I said, I can hear through your writing of this email that you are feeling down. I totally understand this. We have heard from so many listeners in the same boat as you and your partner. What you are feeling is very valid and normal. Anyone who is not in your position will be difficult to talk to because they have not experienced having to postpone their wedding because of a pandemic. I mean, people just don't get it. If they're not in it, they don't get it. Tips to navigate through this time. Plan the wedding. The worst that can happen, you postpone again. I can tell you, however, that after hearing that a vaccine is coming that is 90% effective has certainly made Christy and me very hopeful. I also think what you could do is listen to some older episodes of ours that are pre-COVID and mention no pandemic whatsoever. I really do feel that we are almost up that hill and that the horizon will be in view soon. Stay hopeful and forge ahead. That's the best advice I can give. I'm excited for the two of you. I hope that was helpful to you. And this was a really late response, everybody. I mean, I've been trying to tackle our inbox the best that we can. So yeah, that was it.
And she followed up.
Yay!
And she said that I wanted to share something with other couples that are going through the nightmare of postponing and all the uncertainty. My fiance and I never got engagement photos when we initially planned our wedding. I always thought they were kind of cheesy. However, our photographer offered to do them for us for free since he's not available to shoot our wedding on our new 2021 date. We did them last week, and it was so much fun to walk around our neighborhood, socially distanced, and feel those engaged butterflies again. Aww. I would highly recommend to couples who want to do something wedding planning related or even just something fun to celebrate this time together.
There you go.
And that's what stuck out to me is like it has been a crazy time and a crazy year. And we get the like grief almost about wedding planning that people are going through. We really do. Not to be trite. Like we understand. But we do want to encourage you to celebrate now, if you can, like celebrate this time, celebrate this week, do something out of the ordinary or out of the norm together when you can, because with all the pushing of dates and all the waiting, it's nice to remember to be here now also, even though it feels like we've been here in our houses for fucking ever.
And ever,
it's still something to celebrate if you're planning your wedding. So I like that idea.
I like it too. That's not the first time either that we've heard, like, we went and did our engagement photos and it was so fun. Like, it was nice. So I love that. Thank you for responding and sharing that. And thanks to everybody who wrote to us, who wrote reviews for us, who became Patreon members, who just let us feel like while we're sitting here in this closet talking to each other, there might be someone else listening. It's nice.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being listeners. We love you.
We love you. All right. Gotta go now. See you later. Bye.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast Community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1625 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, show.
Bye.
Bye.